What is up, everybody? It is Thursday, February 13th, 2025, and you're listening to Super Gamecast Daily. I am your host, Bronson Fiore, joined by a lovely Lucy Morningstar.
Thank you.
I'm doing pretty good. How about you, Bronson?
Sore. The workout game is not fun. It kind of sucks.
The gym life is hard.
I just saw a clip
of Homer Simpson discovering the gym, and he called it the gym.
The Gime. I remember that clip.
Gime, that's
yes,
that's it.
That is one of my favorite Simpsons clips. He's just like, a Gime? What's a Gime? Comes inside. Oh, a Gime. God, old Simpsons was so good. So good. UNO was also good.
Why don't you tell me, Bronson?
News. Daily news is always good.
Yeah.
And by the grace of the Lord, as seems usual, we have been gifted with a CEO saying something stupid.
Of course it had to be Ubisoft once again. Foot and mouth.
Hold on.
Company that is known for foot and mouth.
Hold on. Apparently you're very quiet. I'm gonna bump you up a bunch. Yeah, for some reason. Let me bump me down.
It's a conspiracy, Bronson. Ubisoft knows that my allegiance is turning.
They're trying to silence you. Alright, so... Anyway, so what's going on here is Ubisoft CEO says the plan is to focus on open world and live service games year after year. Says the company is focused on these two pillars going forward. They had their quarterly earnings call for Q3 of 2024-25 financial year. They said, yes, Assassin's Creed is on the way, along with more open-world adventures like Assassin's Creed and more live-service games like Rainbow Six and The Crew. And I just read this, and I'm just like, brother, how out of touch can you be? That's my response on that.
I want to say a thing. I've been playing Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League.
Yeah.
We know that it got a lot of hate for live service. A lot of games suffer from live service.
Yes.
The Marvel game did. You take the live service out, I'm not going to lie. This is like this year's version of Marvel's Avengers to me. I'm going to get through this game. I'm enjoying the combat. I'm enjoying the open world. Marvel's had a little bit of that. But oh my God, the live service nobody wants. You put it into any game, whether it's a well-known IP, and you're going to not see sales.
We don't
need live service in Rainbow Six. We just give us old school Rainbow Six. Strategy, multiplayer, combat. That's all we want.
I don't
a good racing game.
I don't think that live service is always the problem. I think it's when you try and like force live service into a game where it doesn't fit. Rainbow Six, that's fine. It's like, all right, we got skins. Like, it was already mostly a multiplayer game, whatever. It's just it... Like, you didn't need to force it into Suicide Squad. You really don't need to force it into single-player games. I don't know why Ubisoft loved doing that.
Especially a racing game.
Yes.
Like, give me cars. Okay, win race, good. Drive car, is it fun? Is it pretty? That's all that matters in a racing game.
I had one of the funniest moments in the world to me. So I was playing, I wanted to try some Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Because I'd been years removed from Assassin's Creed, and it's on Plus, and I was like, why not? And I did something in the game where I earned Ubisoft points, and the game has a pop-up that's like, you earned Ubisoft points, go buy concept art. And I was just like, bro, this is the most, like, immersion-breaking thing I have ever seen in a video game ever. And it's kind of dystopian at the same time. But yeah,
it is annoying, none the least.
Yes.
It is absolutely annoying. Oh, you earned this much points. Okay, look, I don't need wallpapers for my phone. Okay, I'm happy with the skins that you offer. But no, leave me alone. Let me play the game.
And then, like, on the, like, we're going to continue making all these open world games, I'm like, the number one complaint that I have always heard about Ubisoft when it comes to their current crop of games for the past 7 or so years is they make the same game in different flavors. Like, if you play Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, Watch Dogs.
Always the, let's scour the tower, let's unlock the map type stuff.
I don't know why that is, but yeah, so, oh god, it's weird, it's very weird, and like, I get that they're like trying to hone in on like what sells, you know. Like, they're trying to hone in on that. But, dude, you have, like... Oh, yeah, they even were applying it to games where it makes no sense. Like, Ghost Recon. Like, why did Ghost Recon need that? Like, Wildlands literally has these mechanics.
Wildlands is way better than Breakpoint. Breakpoint, they went and really shoved it in there. And I've only gotten an hour in of Breakpoint. It's a good shooter. It's Wildlands, but with a facelift. Like, they need to stop throwing these mechanics in and forcing it. In, like you said, games that they don't make sense in.
Yes, and like, it's just, okay, like, I get it that Far Cry kind of did it first, because, like, Assassin's Creed before Origins was kind of its own thing. Yeah, they had the tower thing, but it was kind of like segmented maps. And then you had Watch Dogs kind of followed on Far Cry, and then the newer Assassin's Creed's built on that. And it's just like, dude, and then other games started doing it because they noticed it started doing well, like Horizon does this shit. And like, just, I'm so tired. In the case of Ubisoft, it's like, just always, it's always done the same way. Like, even the story is like, 9 times out of 10 it is plucky resistance group, be it the assassins, there was the literal resistance group in Far Cry 6. What's their name from Watch Dogs? The hacker group.
DedSec.
Yeah, so you have, like, you literally have, like, it's, like, always a resistance group. It's always, like, climb to the tower, collect the thing, do these side quests that don't matter. It's like, a lot of the time, it's, like, a similar plot. And it's just wearing. And it's just like, I wouldn't mind it if they mixed up. I wouldn't mind the similar plots, as I've said, if the gameplay changed wildly. Because I do think you can do a lot with an Assassin's Creed, the setting. And I feel like that's kind of what they were doing early on. Like, when, you know, they were in 3 and Blackblood, they were like, boats! We added boats! Check this sick shit out. And then I was like, oh, are they just going to do this for every...
Sea diving.
Yeah, like are we going to keep adding cool as shit mechanics? It's like, not really. You know, in Origins, they're like, you get a bird.
I mean, the bird was kind of cool.
I liked the bird. I did like the bird. But
not too big on the bird afterwards, though, to be honest.
But
the bird got a little worn out.
The bird was no longer the word.
No, it was not the word. So, you know, it's funny because they ruined a perfectly good franchise. The Crew, for example, that was an amazing first game. I absolutely loved it. And it, like, the open worldness for our car game, it was so much fun to go from stateside, from one end of the country to the other. It was a lot of fun. I mean, I had a little bit of issues where you couldn't start over the game and replay through the story. But then then they made it The Crew 2, and it was just like, oh, yeah, it's just stunts. We added planes. We added boats. Okay. But it's not fun. And then Motorfest is just a Forza Horizon ripoff. And it's not even done well. It looks pretty, but the cars do not handle the same way as Forza.
I think that my big issue with Ubisoft is actually just the fact that they've not even thought about going back to what they used to do, where they didn't, like, because, like, I look at some of the old games they made, and, like, they were the ones who published those two really good South Park games, right? Like Stick of Truth and Fractured Butthole. They were the guys who went out and got Child of Light made and Valiant Hearts made, and, like, it's just like they had this
Prince
just
of Persia.
Yes, last year they had Prince of Persia, and after Prince of Persia does, like, pretty well, it sold over 1 million copies for this smaller project. It was a great game. What, you know, we gave it a Game of the Year nod last year, and it was super fun and one of the best Metroidvanias I've played. I would get it for Steam Deck, but that would require me to use the Ubisoft launcher, which gross. You know, and just, you have, and then, like, oh, it didn't do these insane numbers, so we are going to kill that development studio. We're not going to lay you off. We're just going to kill the studio and ship them off to other projects to work in the Assassin's Creed, Watch Dogs, Far Cry, Salt Mine, until they can find a new job.
Like, I'm excited. I'm gonna get Assassin's Creed. I've been a longtime fan. I've had issues with every single game, but I've had a lot of pluses with every single one.
They
make money off of Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed has the ability to print money for them if they do it right.
But this
sucks as an Assassin's Creed fan.
I am someone who, I liked Assassin's Creed up until, kind of until Origins, and even then I was starting to get burnt out when Unity came out. Unity, I was just like, I'm tired. But then, like, Origins was kind of the tipping point of being like, I think I'm done for a while. And then a friend of mine really hyped up Odyssey, and I played it, and I'm like, I'm really, really done for a while. You know,
for me, I loved every stage change. Valhalla is one of my favorites to this day.
I think for me, it's just that they didn't, like, the setting changes, but the gameplay largely doesn't. I'm a history dork. I read a bunch of history. I love what they do with the setting. I think all that stuff is really neat. I liked back in the older games when they tried to keep it a little more accurate. Now they're kind of just like, and we do what we want. But, like, I really liked all that stuff. It's just it. I want them to see them do something fresh. And the thing is I don't think they will, because Assassin's Creed is kind of like Call of Duty in the sense that it'll typically sell pretty well no matter what. Like, I can't remember the last time one of those games, like, tanked sales-wise. And until it does, I don't think they're going to learn anything and continue to just change the setting. And that's, you know, hey, similar to Call of Duty, I'm like, you know, I'm sure there are year-to-year differences that people notice. but not enough for most people. And that, but then I think it also falls in that category of like Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, sports games, where there are just dudes who buy them every year, no matter what. Those are the three games they buy every year. And that's, yeah, that's.
I'm one of those dudes. I get every Assassin's Creed. Like, I haven't gotten burnt out on it. Yeah. I love me a good Assassin's Creed, and I've not been disappointed. The things that bother me are the new like, trying to nickel and dime me is what frustrates me.
Yes. Like,
every main game, they have a side story that comes out. It's a full game on its own, but they make it out to be like, oh, you know, this is, you know, it's its own thing, but it's part of this game. Like, just throw it into the season pass. You already got a season pass. You've got DLC coming down the line for this game. Add it to that. Like, Valhalla had Odin's side story, where you just play as Odin. They did the same. They started this back in 3. Assassin's Creed 3 had Liberation. Assassin's Creed 4 had Freedom Cry. And
those ones I at least was a little more understanding, because they were like, oh, we made this one for the Vita only at first, and then we made this one for people who didn't have a PS4 yet, and it's like, okay, fine, sure. But like, now it's just especially egregious. It's just,
oh, absolutely. As much as I like them, that is going to be a complaint about it. Because, like, I guarantee you Shadows is going to have a side game that you're going to have to pick up for its own price. And it's going to be Assassin's Creed. It's going to have different mechanics, probably more on par with Valhalla. But if they really wanted to do something really cool, they're going to bring back Splinter Cell. But they're not going to. That is the one game everyone fucking wants out of them. And they keep adding Sam Fisher in all these other titles, whether it's whether it's Ghost Recon, Siege. I'm pretty sure he made a slight like appearance in Assassin's Creed and Watch Dogs at one point. Like, give us Sam Fisher back. Like, you want to make money? Make a good Splinter Cell. Like, Blacklist was amazing. It was the first one where they did online, and they did this like weird like hub thing where you'd like work with other operators. Just
they had a
Blacklist without that online bullshit.
They had a really dope online mode in Chaos Theory. Like, Chaos Theory on the original Xbox had Mercs versus Spies. It was two spies versus two Mercs. That was some of the most fun shit I've ever played. I would love a new Splinter Cell. I love Chaos Theory. I love Double Agent. I love Conviction. All those games were dope as hell. But yeah, you know, anyway, that's Ubisoft. I'm sure they'll learn eventually. It might be when they get bought out by another company, but they'll learn.
Well, speaking of companies learning, but for the best.
Yeah, Monster
Hunter.
Yeah, speaking of companies learning how to make a shit ton of money. So Monster Hunter World is a 7-year-old video game. It is the last console Monster Hunter that was like developed mainly for a console. And it is the last quarter of the year, so from October to December of last year. This 7-year-old video game sold 1 million copies, and its pace has not been going down. Brother, that is wild. And the thing is that I already own the game, but I played the Monster Hunter Wilds beta, and I could not get enough of it, and I was like, oh man, I could really go for some Monster Hunts right now. It immediately re-downloaded World. I'm probably gonna play it when I have some free time this weekend. I was just like, yeah, I want to whack a monster with my great sword and turn it into armor. Let's go. Yeah. So, And then they keep iterating on it in smart ways, and they keep trying to open it up to more people. Interesting thing here, Monster Hunter World is now Capcom's best-selling game ever.
I believe that.
That means Monster Hunter World has outsold... that means Monster Hunter World has outsold all the Resident Evil games, any Street Fighter game, Dragon's Dogma, Phoenix Wright, like all these major, major, major franchises. You know, and I feel like Wilds is coming around the corner soon here. And I really feel like this is going to be Monster Hunter's Elden Ring, where like the series goes mainstream. Like that's what I am seeing in my, because it's kind of following a similar trajectory where like the first game came out and people were like, this was freaking weird and obtuse and clunky and who would want to play this? And then it just kind of bit, and just like Dark Souls kind of has snowballed, and similar to how Dark Souls 3 kind of went semi-mainstream, or really did go mainstream, I think Monster Hunter World and Rise went mainstream, and now this is going to be their like, oh, Monster Hunter isn't just huge in Japan, it's huge everywhere.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, nah, man. I know you played the beta. You weren't feeling it.
I was not feeling it. Though with the Sony event that just transpired, they showed some other biomes, not so brown all, which was one of my big issues. It was so orange, so tan.
It was very that first biome is very much the Serengeti. Look at the brown. I do agree with that. I don't know. There's another beta.
It's going to take me some time. It's going to take me time to get into the game. That's what I'll say.
Well, I'm supposed to be putting some more time into the beta with Duncan this coming weekend because they're doing another beta. You should hop on with us. Whack Big Monster.
Okay. I will join you. Maybe you can show me reasons to love this game.
What weapon did you choose? I'm curious.
I was the bow.
You were the bow? Okay. The bow from what my girlfriend chose the bow, I believe, and so did her brother. And, that thing seems absurdly good right now. so yeah, no, I'm happy that they grew this franchise organically. I realize that a lot of CEOs and companies don't want to do that. Because it's very much this thing where, like, they want the money now. They want all the money now, and they want their franchise to be a multi-bajillion dollar thing now. But Monster Hunter took 21 years to get to this point, you know?
Yeah. Well, they're doing good, and from somebody that hasn't really played their games, I played a few here and there. I gave the beta a try. But I've always known somebody that absolutely loves Monster Hunter. So it's definitely made a huge rise, especially to somebody that hasn't been too involved in the game.
I wasn't that involved until World. Like, I think World finally kind of sanded down some of the rougher edges enough to where I could get into it. Because, like, that... Because I played 2 on the PSP, and I tried 3 and 4, and I'm like, this is kind of wonky and weird and reminds me of Phantasy Star Online, but not in a good way, and I'm good. But then, like, I had some, you know, everybody I knew was like playing World when it came out, and I was like, all right, I'll give it another shot. And they added some good tutorials, they cleaned up some of the more tedious stuff. And they just kind of made it, and then something, and then I, like, a friend of mine described it as, look, this game does not control or function like other video games, just do what it says. And then it finally clicked, and I was like, oh, the gameplay loop here is really good. Because you just kind of get into a flow where it's like, okay, We hunt a monster, we kill it, we get the materials, we take it back, we get a new monster, it kicks our ass. Okay, now we need to figure out what gear, what the pattern is. Okay, we figure out that monster, we get new gear, we kick its butt, and then it just repeats. It's this loot, figure out a pattern, like, setup. It's really cool, and I'm glad for them. And fun fact, the franchise as a whole is Capcom's most second most successful franchise. Number one being Resident Evil, with all their games combined being 167 million. And then as for an individual game, it is their most successful, which is for a company that owns Street Fighter, Mega Man, and what's it called? Street Fighter, Mega Man, Resident Evil, and several other big names. That's a big deal. So, yeah, good on. Speaking about people making cool video games and CEOs saying stupid shit, or executives at least saying stupid shit. Like, this story just, it's so absurd. Embracer Group says Kingdom Come 2's Deliverance's success is a reminder it should make great video games.
How would, you see, I feel like you criticize this more than I do, because I see it, and I've read a couple of the stories, and like, yeah, we don't give a fuck about woke, we don't give a fuck about anti-woke, we just want to make a good game. And like,
yes, everyone that I agree is, with. I agree with
everyone that.
That
I stream with loves this fucking game. And I am so entranced when I watch them play it. And I'm like, I kind of need to play this. I'm going to have to add this to my stream schedule. Get like, I need to play this game. It looks fun. Like recently I read a story. It was like the developers like, oh yeah, no, we made the gunplay clunky on purpose. We didn't want to make it overpowered. Like, it's see, medieval. We want you to use your sword.
My problem isn't with the developer or any of that shit. My problem is the publisher having to be reminded as if this wasn't their only job as a video game publisher. Oh man, we should publish great video games. That should be what we should do.
Who knew that would be a good concept, though? Like, I get where you're coming from. Like, it is absurd. Like,
you know, like, that'd be like a car manufacturer coming out and saying, hey, this car sold really well. Turns out, if we just make good cars, we'll sell more cars.
Right? Unfortunately, when it comes down to cars, though, I mean, Tesla's got a new nickname. I'm not going to say it. But,
yeah, we're not going to, you know. But, yeah, so, like...
Just, they're not good cars, but people keep buying them. You know, some games are just not great, but then other games are way better. Like, I'm still going to buy a Dodge Challenger over a Ford Mustang. It stay on ground. It don't go up pole.
I do agree that there are people who just will buy games that aren't as good as something like Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. But I just the fact that a publisher would openly say, you know, and I quote, it is a reminder to our core to bring great products to market. And I'm just like, yes? Why would you need a reminder of that?
Don't you like money?
Like
your job is to make money, right? You don't care about the game as long as it makes money. But you keep putting out shitty games and not making money, then you get mad and blame it on game.
Like, there was an old extra punctuation video I watched that said it pretty straightforward. If you put out if you put out a good game that is reasonably priced, and then Anthony and I added something to this, and it is marketed reasonably well, it will sell. And most of the time, that is true. That's it. That is the secret sauce. You know, so to like sit here and have to have this pop around is kind of absurd.
It is.
And I've heard,
but on the other end, though, I mean, we have. It's impressive that this game came out of nowhere, and this isn't a big name game by any means.
And no, well, the first one did pretty well. People aren't
going to be like, it did, it did, and it has a lot of praise, and it's very highly, highly rated. But it's not like a Call of Duty. But this is outshining a Call of Duty. Well, it's outshining a lot of big AAA games right now.
Okay, well, like,
and that's impressive. It's like this year's Helldivers 2.
It's probably not outselling Call of Duty. Call of Duty does like 10 million in a day, but 2 million over the course of a week is pretty good. And the last game over the last game over the course of 6 years did 8 million copies, and it took them a year to hit 2 million copies. Or sorry, the last one did 8 million copies after 6 years, and it did 2 million copies after a full year. So to hit 2 million over the course of, you know, 2 weeks, that's still pretty good. That is damn right. Good. Like good on them. It's just this is just hilarious. You know, and I don't know, man. Like, I cannot think that the people who run these publishers are they really just this out of touch? Is that the answer here?
You know, I think this is a running theme. Week after week, we ask the same question.
Yeah,
and,
well,
Bronson, I'm gonna have to say yes, they are.
Yes, like, and we need to call them out on it and talk about it. I know we had a comment on our Diablo video where it was basically, "Yo, good on you guys for talking about this shit every week. I know it can get tiring," and it's just like, yeah, kind of is.
I'm new to it, and I'm already tired of the same thing.
Yeah, no, like, don't worry. Give it time. Your spirit will also be broken. Give it time.
I refuse, but
the
you know, I don't always get my way.
The grinder will come for you as well. It is just a matter of when. For me, it was during the mass layoffs, like when we hit like 22K layoffs in a year and a half, and I was like, God, fuck this industry.
Anyway. And even on that end, it is not getting better.
No, because like, we reported on, like, layoffs on a week daily, ago.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did one yesterday, too, with Crytek.
Oh, right. That's how you it's know it's bad. It's almost
a daily basis. That's how you know it's bad, when we're talking about layoffs on a daily basis in the industry.
Oh, God. All right. Let's talk about some good news than a publisher not doing something stupid.
That aside, do try this game out. I really love watching people play it. It looks like a good
game. It looks cool. It's kind of in my bucket of I'll probably wait for a discount, but I'm looking forward to trying it. My girlfriend's very interested in it. You know, it's just that also she wants to play Avowed, and that's out next week. So. That is a Game Pass game, though, so if y'all got Game Pass, Avowed looks cool. Anyway, for game, some good news, though. Hey, Sony, PlayStation. PlayStation. Says it's planning to release more family games like Astrobot. Says the platform's award success validates its plan to extend in the family genre.
I mean, isn't that how they started?
I mean, yeah, that was a different time. A lot of their
mascots were family.
Yes.
Is this coming off of the high of winning Game of the Year? Or is this actually, you know, we should do some family-friendly game.
I think it's a little column A, a little column B. I think it's a little both, because video games take a long time to make. like video games take these days upwards of 3 to 5 years, sometimes more. So this could have been something they had in the pot for a while, but I definitely think they're being more vocal about it since the award shows happened.
And honestly, even if they do go this route, it's a win for them because Astrobot did amazing. I unfortunately still have not played it, but I played a lot of the Astrobot titles,
Astro's Playroom,
the first two, and the VR one. Mm-hmm. And they're amazing games. They're nostalgia, just pure nostalgia. It just makes you feel good.
And I,
makes
and
you
I think,
feel happy.
I think that they're great platformers. They have catchy music. You know, like, my girlfriend does not commonly like to watch me play games that are of this genre, but even she would come in and watch it. Music is catchy. It's fun to play. The way I describe it to people who've never played them, like, yo, dog, it's basically Mario Galaxy 3. They made
but
the third.
Better.
No, about the same.
I'm going to say better. It's Nintendo, not
it's
Sony.
It's very much like it is from a lot of ways. It is almost the exact same style of game as Mario Galaxy 3 in a lot of ways, but they add some nice touches to it. It does have its own vibe, especially in the art style. I think that and it's one of the few games I can say uses the DualSense features in a non-annoying way. And I think they should make more family games. I think that the PlayStation, from the PlayStation 4 era onward, and especially the PS5, does feel like it is mainly targeted at older folks.
Yeah. Another thing we were talking about yesterday is a game's coming out that wants to utilize the PlayStation DualSense more. And it's not it's not directly a Sony company either. But, they do a very good job at implementing their own functionality. But not a lot of games do. I mean, I get it. Call of Duty is not going to sense to its full capability. A lot of mainstream games aren't.
No, most games
don't.
It
would be nice to actually have, as a gamer, to get said specific hardware to actually implement in and enjoy it.
I just don't think a lot of third parties are going to care to, because they have, they have like 3, 4, 5 other systems to make it for. I was kind of surprised when I played Monster Hunter on PlayStation and the mount noises were coming from the controller. I was like, oh, what the fuck?
I don't disagree. I mean, like, Sony saying this themselves is like a no brainer. Come on.
You have
the hardware. Use it.
Yes. I think that the games they've used it for have worked out well. I think that Gran Turismo, it works great. I thought the Aero stuff in Horizon was really good. I thought the stuff in Astrobot was exceptional. But going back to the family game thing, yeah, they have a lot of family IP they could do. They could do a new little Big Planet. They could go, Mario Maker was massively successful. They could easily do a little Big Planet to do something similar.
Or just remake the original with the new hardware.
Yeah.
That would be just phenomenal. Like, because you'd be able to use the trackpad while building levels.
Exactly. Well, and that's why Mario Maker worked so great. It was like the touchscreen, right? Like, you do the same thing with trackpad. Just boop, boop, boop. You know, like, that'd be awesome. I think you could do a new Sly Cooper. I think Sly Cooper very much has a Saturday morning cartoon vibe.
Sly Cooper.
This would be a little bit of an older kid, like a 10 or 11. I think you could do a new Jack and Daxter. You can't really do Crash or Spyro because those are owned by Microsoft now, but, you could easily...
Well... You know, Microsoft is planning on throwing their IPs on to PlayStation, so it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yes, but it's not Sony making it, though. That's the thing. It's like, Sony's not going to be making them. They said they're making, trying to expand more in the family genre. I'm trying to think of other, like, family-style games they could do.
God of War. The third one.
It's not a family game at all.
It's father and son. It's family.
Yes, you're technically right. If you're using a literal definition. I think you could do... I was going to say Fat Princess, but I remember how much blood was in that game.
No, there wasn't much. It was a very cartoony, but very innocent.
Yeah, but it had a lot of blood in it and dismemberments.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes Sackboy's head fell off, you know.
Yeah, but that didn't have blood. Gushing blood and a dude's arm getting severed. You know, I mean, I'm
still on the boat for needing a new Fat Princess. Not that halfway sequel that they did on the PlayStation 4, but like the original, or at least the one that they had on the PlayStation.
The studio that made it isn't around anymore, but I really like those karaoke games like SingStar. Like I thought. Those
oh my were, god! Yeah,
yeah, I really like those a lot. They had those quiz games, Buzz. That had like the
those control. Were fun.
Those were pretty cool. Yeah,
they had a couple of those where you download the app and then you just have all your friends around one console, and then you'd be using the app for that. You know, I mean, yeah, it was like, very Jack,
but for kids. But... Yeah, yeah. I like trying to think of like Sony specifically. Because, like, there have been plenty of family games from other people, you know, over PlayStation's history. You know, like, I think that there's a lot of those, but, you know, I think that you can make a PlayStation All-Stars work for kids. I think you could.
Yeah, we All-Stars 2 would be great.
Yeah, I think that, like, there's a lot of games you could, from their history, they might have to go license some of them, but, like, that would work well for the children. Anyway, but Sony doesn't seem to be too concerned about that because, boy howdy, they are making a lot of money off selling boxes.
Yep, reaching 75 million shipments.
So 75 million shipments. Now, that does not mean those have sold, but that means they have shipped to retailers, which probably means they're going to sell. Because, you know, the retailers are not going to order more than they need. It's slightly behind where PS4 was at this point in its life, which was 76.5 million. It's shipped 15.7 million PS5s during the first three quarters of its current year. So it's on target for its 18 million by the end of March. And then they have some graphs comparing PS4 to PS5 shipments here. Dark blue is PS4. Light blue's PS5. As you can tell, like, there was... You can kind of see when the COVID shortages were happening. And then when they stopped. And then where we're at now. I don't think that the PS5 will outsell the PS4. I think that a lot of that market has gone to PC or Switch or... You know, just the phone games, even if you look at current market trends.
Yep. I mean, I'm evidence of somebody that has been a long time, like, Sony guy. And I just upgraded my PC with your help to play PC games. And during the outage, I barely even noticed, other than, hey, the outage is happening. Oh, right. Well, I'm playing video games on the PC.
For me, it was, damn, I have to play the Monster Hunter beta on the smaller screen instead of the bigger screen. Oh, no. that was it. So, a couple of interesting things that can hint at growth, though. They had a 43% uptick in monthly active users. You know, they're up 5% year on year. And then according to the company, 42% of its sales during the last quarter were to new users. So like they did not own a PS3, 4, or 5 already. They were like, yo, dog, just buying a new PlayStation. Game and network services were up 12% year on year. As a result, it raised its sales by 3%. PlayStation Plus went up 20% year on year. PlayStation Plus and advertising went up 28%. Basically,
you know, it's actually funny. Sorry, don't mean to cut you off, but no, it's actually funny that their Plus went up, because last year, wasn't that the first implementation of the three-tier system Plus?
I want to say it was the year before that. No, it was definitely the year before that, because I...
Well, isn't it late that year, though?
No, it was pretty early, because I remember my girlfriend wanted to play this PS2 game called Okage Shadow King, and it was in the higher tier. And I was like, all right, you know what? I can get the higher tier. We can justify it as a cost for the podcast, and she can use this. And it's only $8.
Right.
Yeah, so a lot of people speculate that Helldivers 2 was a big part of this. The Plus subscriptions. So that's been where some speculation is. You know, it has high expectations. I mean,
yeah, but that'd be like a good like 4 or maybe 5 months of it, because by the time July or early September happened, like, there was a lot of burnout on that game too.
Yeah, but you have to remember this is year on year, so it's like you're projecting it out over the whole year. So that means if you have like a 60% uptick from February to like July, and then go down a little bit, you're still going to get a year-on-year raise. So that is something to consider.
That's fair, yeah.
You know, like, that's something to consider. Another thing to consider is, in general, more people are playing online games than ever before. You know, and then you have the factor in, all right, so a large chunk of these new users across all platforms were new, like new people. And a lot of those people were probably playing online games and probably getting a Plus membership. This is why you see a lot of publishers chasing the live service dragon. Because if you do get a live service dragon, it is a money printing machine.
Kinda. It depends on your platform price, though, because you don't need PlayStation Plus to play online if it's free to play games. Say, like, Rivals or Overwatch 2.
I thought you did.
No, I don't have a Plus at all, and I still play online on my PlayStation. I stopped paying for it at the end of last year because I switched over to PC. But okay. Yeah, you don't need a Plus, but for certain online games. Now, if you buy a game like Call of Duty, you need a PlayStation Plus. But well, if it's a free-to-play game, you don't need it.
But you have to remember, that's still a huge chunk of the audience, though. Like, Call of Duty, it like is always top two selling game every year on PlayStation. So it's like, okay, and all those people are playing online. And, you know, Sony loves this because it's... Any transaction you make on a platform, 30% of that goes to the platform holder. So if you buy a game on Steam, 30% of that goes to Steam. If you buy a game on Xbox, Nintendo, or PlayStation, 30% of that goes to them. Same with DLC. So I bought that Wolverine skin when Marvel Rivals came out. That $16, 30% of it went to Steam. Right. So you have all these Plus tiers and you have all this other stuff. None of this really surprises me. I know a lot of people will be like, where's the big first party exclusives? And I'm like, those games do really well. Like, I'm, you know, Death Stranding 2, Ghost of Yote, those are going to sell a bajillion copies, right? Like, those are going to do really well. But,
and they will be on, Plus catalog at one point, because that's how I have Death Stranding 1 is from Plus. I also own Ghost of The first one.
Tsushima.
I own that Tsushima. One. Yeah, Tsushima. I didn't want to mispronounce that one accidentally. Like, I own those ones through Plus while I was being a Plus user. Now, because I don't have Plus, I can't play them. But on the other end, like, it is a very good way of getting, like, games that you typically wouldn't want to buy.
It's
also a way to get, like, AAA, AA, and, like, all the bigger titles.
Yeah, it also has the problem of, like, at least if you're like me and you own a computer or an Xbox as well as a PlayStation, it is literally just worse than Game Pass. It is literally just worse.
It is. And even I'll even admit that, because Game Pass, though, I still prefer PlayStation's version of their UI because it's only on PlayStation. I hate the Game Pass Microsoft or Xbox apps on the
PC. So on the Xbox itself, it's great, but yes, the PC app for Game Pass is terrible. It's not as bad as the Origin. It's not as bad as Ubisoft Connect, but it is still pretty trash. I would love for them to build that just straight into Steam and make it work with Steam. But yeah.
Though I don't think Sony's got anything to worry about, because if everything goes as stories are going, like if they're going to be pulling Xbox Game Pass over to Sony at some point, Sony doesn't have anything to worry about, because they're essentially a second tier version of PC. Because if you've got a PlayStation and an Xbox, you pretty much have access to all three big consoles. Minus the Switch.
I think that Sony is probably not going to allow Game Pass on their platform, because they want to be the only one in the traditional console space. Because the Switch is competing in its own space. It's a hybrid. It's a portable as well as a plug it into your TV. And then PC is its own thing. And Sony's putting their games on PC, but they're doing it late. And then Xbox is putting their games on everything, but I think that's just because they have been pretty effectively bullied out of the console space. I think the reason they're even staying in the console space is two reasons. One, they don't want to piss off 40 million people who bought Xboxes and make them never want to buy a Microsoft game ever again.
Throwing in the towel.
Yeah, but I checked on a lot of those guys and they came back, or they're still doing stuff. So it's like, whatever.
Oh, they will. It's always bluster when any influencer says, I'm against this, blah, blah, blah. You know, we see it in local media all the time. You know, just because it's not something that sits well, the bottom line is the bottom buck. And if it makes some money, they'll do whatever they'll do. And if it means playing a Xbox game on a PlayStation, they're going to do it.
So, I don't think that the Xbox consoles are going away, though. And the reason I say that is twofold. One, they do have an established user base who isn't moving. I know just plenty of people who own Xboxes. They're Xbox people. They're not going to move off the platform. They've sold 40 million Xboxes. There you go. Two is they make the majority of the Game Pass money off of the Xbox console. For whatever reason, they tried to get more people to subscribe on PC, but people are just a lot more committed to using it on the Xbox console. And then three is the same as Sony, is anything you buy on an Xbox, if it's not made by Xbox, they're still getting a 30% cut. So if let's say you are a Genshin Impact player on Xbox and you're spending thousands of dollars a month on your gacha game on Xbox, they're getting 30% of that. So
absolutely the same thing with Sony as well.
Exactly. So that they have no incentive to stop that shit. It's the same, you know, we had a similar discussion about this on Monday when we were talking about the Valve store and how all these stores are overrun with shovelware. It's like, well, yeah, because if you buy the shovelware, they get 30%. They have no financial incentive to stop. Right. So, you know, good for Sony. I'm glad they're doing well, and they're kind of fixing what a lot of people have complained about. You know, like they've said, hey, we're going to try and have a big single play, 1 to 2 big single player exclusives a year. We're cutting back on the live service. We're, you know, kind of scaling back on different things. So yeah, like that's, you know, good on them. I don't think they're going to surpass PS4 in terms of units sold, but considering online services and DLC revenue is bigger than ever, I don't think it matters to them. I don't think they give a shit.
No. I mean, it doesn't seem like it really matters with having to handicap COVID to them. They managed to make it up, and just by the numbers we're looking at.
Yeah, I think what kind of kicked them in the teeth more than anything was just rampant inflation. Like, that's, you know, because outside of the U.S., PS5 is the only console that come to my memory that's seen a price increase. Because in the U.S., it didn't get a price increase. But in other territories, Japan, Europe, things like that, it got a price increase. So that is something to consider, is inflation kind of kicked their butt a little bit, as it did with most companies. I think that's actually a big part of why the $80 game conversation has been floated around recently. But anyway, next story. It's going to be a quick one before we call it a night. The artist.
And this one's mostly on you anyway, because like I mentioned I've never played this game, so I have nothing to say about this one.
Well, that's fine, because I think it comes into a broader topic about Star Fox as a whole. Star Fox artist says he wants GameCube title Star Fox Assault to be playable. The original artist behind Star Fox says he hopes to, he wants it to see it back. The game has celebrated its 20th anniversary, and he posted on X and did a sketch saying, for both it and Steel Diver Sub Wars. Terrible video game that launched on the 3DS, everybody. That, hey, it should come back. He left Nintendo in 2021 after 3 decades of working on F-Zero, Star Fox, numerous Zelda games, including A Link to the Past and Majora's Mask. He is being credited of designing the Star Fox characters, such as Fox McCloud, Falco Lombardi, and Captain Falcon, and Tangle. Today is the release anniversary of Assault and Steel Diver. I hope both will be playable on Switch. He did a similar thing a couple years back, asking for a Switch port of Star Fox Zero. I think that this is not the Star Fox that they should be doing ports of. I do think it is an alright game. My bigger, broader question is, where the hell's a new Star Fox? Because Nintendo has a lot of franchises that they don't use all the time. They really, really love, like, they're always going to put out a Mario, a Zelda, a Mario Kart, and a Smash Brothers. And nowadays, Fire Emblem and Kirby and Pokemon, because they all sell really, really, really well. But anything that is not one of those that they own is just a spin the wheel of, will you ever see this again? Now, on the Switch, the wheel landed on Pikmin and Animal Crossing, which I think now Animal Crossing might be in that first group because of how well it did because of COVID.
Yeah. The last couple of games have done tremendously well.
Back when I was in college and early in my working life, Animal Crossing on the 3DS came out, and I played it literally every day on my bus ride to work. It was like,
I'd love to call it a gacha game, but it's not a gacha game. It just got your endorphins going. It literally fucking is designed to psychologically draw you in and make you do chores.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, for me, it was perfect because my commute altogether was about an hour and 20 minutes. like both ways, like it was like 40 minutes each way or like 45 minutes each way or whatever that is breaks down to. And I legitimately timed it so I could get all my chores done within my commute. So I would play Animal Crossing on my commute, get everything done between my two commutes, and I'd be like, cool, close my 3DS. It was awesome. It's just like how I love F-Zero. I think F-Zero is one of the best racing games ever made. We're never gonna almost never gonna see another one. I'm a big fan of Punch Out. Probably not for another 10 years, if that.
No, the next one's gonna be Punch Out Jake Paul.
I'm not gonna lie, if a Nintendo game let me just wail on Jake Paul, I'd be all for it.
I'm sure they have something like that. Would I mean it would make sense. It is now canon now that he's part of the boxing.
The boxing verse. We'll see. That's a GameCube game. More GameCube games on Switch. You moved over the good Paper Mario. You should do more. Anyway, everybody, that's a show. Hey, tomorrow is Friday, so we'll be back for the late show. That's at 9 p.m. And then we're off for the weekend, and we'll join you again on Monday at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We love you guys, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
All right. Have a good weekend.